Welcome to episode 3 of our ongoing series, Fat Loss, Metabolism, and Nootropics. I'm your host, Lena Carter, and joining me once again is Dr. Samuel Clark, molecular biologist and leading expert in peptide and neurochemical research. In today's episode, we're shifting our attention to a topic that sits at the very core of credible scientific exploration source integrity. As interest in peptides and nootropics continues to grow in modern research, one truth has become undeniable. The purity, transparency, and consistency of these compounds directly shape the outcomes of every study they touch. We'll discuss why verified sourcing matters, how impurities can compromise lab results, and what researchers should look for when selecting compounds for experimental use. Along the way, we'll also examine how reputable suppliers like BC9 are supporting the research community with high-purity, lab-tested peptides and nootropics that meet strict scientific standards. So if you're ready to go behind the scenes of research quality, reliability, and scientific accountability, stay with us because this is a conversation every lab should hear. Let's get started. Okay, let's unpack this. Our listener is looking for the fastest route to being well-informed on this crucial topic of source integrity. Before we dive into all the technical details, what's the fundamental takeaway? If you could boil this down to a single principle, what's the core premise we really need to grasp?
Right. The core premise is that research accuracy hinges entirely, on the purity, consistency, and traceability of the materials you're studying.
Okay.
Think of it this way. Science is built on foundations,
yep.
Right? And if your foundation, that chemical compound you are testing, is flawed, well, the entire structure of your study just collapses.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Poor quality compounds don't just skew results slightly. They compromise entire lines of inquiry. They can lead to completely false conclusions and, critically, waste massive resources.
Uh-huh.
Time, money, opportunities for, you know, real discovery.
That makes perfect sense. We are talking about controlling variables, essentially. In complex scientific settings, especially when we deal with molecular biology or neurochemistry, why does the purity of the compound rise to the level of being, well, non-negotiable? Why can't a researcher just sort of account for a small percentage of impurity?
Because the goal of research isn't just observing an effect. It's about reliably replicating it and understanding its mechanism. Variability is the enemy of replication, always. And peptides and nootropics, they're incredibly sensitive materials. They're often designed to interact with very specific biological targets, receptors, enzymes, pathways. Think of it like a custom-made key fitting into a very specific lock.
Okay.
Now, if you introduce impurities, even at trace levels, you're fundamentally changing that key.
Mm.
You might not actually be studying compound X anymore. You might be studying compound X mixed with who knows what, residual processing chemicals, maybe even a cheaper or similar compound.
Ah, I see.
And this creates unpredictable outcomes, which totally invalidates the data and, crucially, stops other labs from being able to verify your findings.
So the high purity mandate is basically a requirement for scientific integrity itself. It ensures the experiment is clean from the start.
Exactly. When you source high purity compounds, you're working towards predictable outcomes. You reduce model variability, which saves time. And most importantly, you ensure that when another lab tries to repeat your experiment, they actually get the same results. That's the definition of good science, isn't it?
It is. Let's delve into the specific challenges these compounds present, starting with peptides. Now, they are short chains of amino acids, and the sources really emphasize their incredible sensitivity. What makes them so particularly vulnerable to source issues compared to, say, a simpler organic molecule?
Well, peptides are fragile. They're biological communicators. Their entire function relies on their precise 3D structure and their ability to mimic or influence natural signals, whether targeting cell receptors or specific growth pathways.
Okay.
The moment that structure is compromised, maybe through slight contamination or some molecular alteration during production or storage, you impact several critical characteristics right away.
Let's pause on a few of those technical points you mentioned, like binding affinity and half-life stability. For a researcher listening who needs the quick takeaway, why is that structural integrity just so essential?
Okay, think back to that key and lock analogy. Binding affinity is basically how well that peptide key fits the cellular lock.
Right.
If the peptide is slightly bent or damaged, maybe because of an impurity, the binding affinity drops. It either won't bind at all or it'll bind weakly. And that means the biological signal you intended to observe is distorted or maybe entirely missed.
Okay, so the effect is lost or changed.
Exactly. And likewise, half-life stability refers to how long that peptide remains active in the research model system. If the sourcing or storage was poor, the compound might degrade really quickly. So your planned 24-hour observation period might suddenly only yield, say, 6 hours of valid data before the compound breaks down.
I see. So the reliance on these precise interactions is absolutely non-negotiable, particularly in research areas like muscle repair, tissue regeneration, or recovery pathways, places where even tiny shifts in how cells are talking could fundamentally throw off the whole study.
Precisely. You need absolute confidence that the peptide you're administering is structurally sound and consistent every single time, across every dose. Reputable suppliers, like the one highlighted in the sources, BC9, they understand this implicitly. They verify composition and maintain batch consistency precisely because they know the cost of variability in these critical research areas. It's not just a quality check, it's enabling reliable science.
Now let's pivot to nootropics. These are often studied for their potential cognitive, neurological, maybe adaptive benefits in research models. While perhaps structurally less complex than some peptides, why do they require equal precision in sourcing? Is it the same set of problems?
The context is a bit different, but the requirement for purity remains just as high. Nootropics primarily affect the central nervous system, right? They influence neurotransmitter pathways or enzymatic signals within the research environment. The danger here often lies in unintended secondary effects.
Secondary effects? From what?
Well, because these compounds are often synthesized in labs, impurities can creep in. Things like residual solvents from the manufacturing process, unwanted chemical byproducts, or sometimes even cheaper filler materials that shouldn't be there at all.
And those impurities can act as variables themselves, completely independent of the compound the researcher actually wants to study.
Exactly right. Imagine a researcher is focused on studying a novel compound's effect on neuroplasticity. How the brain forms new connections in a model.
Okay.
If the source compound contains even a trace amount of some common stimulant impurity, maybe left over from synthesis, well, that stimulant might mask the subtle long-term effects of the novel compound they're actually interested in.
Ah, so it muddies the waters.
Completely. The researcher might end up attributing the observed alertness or some transient cognitive boost entirely to the wrong molecule. The results become totally muddled. Useless, really.
So if you're focused on highly sensitive areas in your research, like memory retention models, cellular stress responses, or deep cognitive signaling pathways, source integrity is non-negotiable because you have to be observing the target compound's action and absolutely nothing else.
It is the only way to maintain scientific validity. Researchers simply need compounds free from contaminants and unlisted fillers to ensure the data truly reflects the hypothesis they are testing. Which, you know, brings us back to transparency.
That's a perfect segue. We've established why purity matters so critically, but how does a trustworthy supplier actually prove their quality? How does a researcher move past a simple claim on a website to verifiable confidence?
Transparency is really the difference between just a vendor and a genuine scientific partner. It's not some marketing feature. It's a fundamental scientific requirement. Researchers must be able to trace the origin, the purity level, and the complete composition of every single material used in a study. If you can't trace it, you simply can't trust it.
So what specific documentation should a lab be demanding? What are the absolute non-negotiables that reliable vendors provide?
Okay, the first and most crucial piece is the Certificate of Analysis, the COA. This document outlines the tested characteristics of the compound, confirming its identity, its potency, and its purity level.
Right, the basics.
But it really can't stop there. The sources stress the importance of batch-specific testing reports. A reliable supplier doesn't just provide one generic COA for a compound type. They provide documentation specific to the exact batch number the researcher receives.
That makes sense. A successful test run from 6 months ago doesn't guarantee the current batch is pure, does it?
Exactly right. Purity can vary. And to increase confidence even further, the best practice is third-party verification.
Meaning someone else checks their work.
Yes. An independent, accredited laboratory has verified the results of the supplier's own internal testing. This kind of layered documentation, you've got the COAs, the specific batch reports, and third-party verification combined with clear labeling and documented proper storage and shipping protocols that builds an unimpeachable chain of custody.
Got it.
It ensures the compound maintains its stability and purity from the point of manufacture right up to the lab bench.
And it's this adherence to strict documentation standards that sets reputable research-grade suppliers apart. They're bridging that critical gap between the supply chain and scientific accountability, really enabling the researcher to proceed with confidence. Let's get absolutely clear about the downside now. If a researcher chooses an unverified, low-integrity source, perhaps to save a bit on the budget, which is always tempting, what are the immediate, tangible consequences that undermine their work? Let's detail those risks.
the consequences are severe, and they're measured in wasted time, wasted resources, and potentially damaged credibility. Take the risk of contamination. This isn't just theoretical. We're talking about unknown substances introducing completely uncontrolled variables that immediately invalidates the biological responses you observe. The researcher is left with unusable, dirty data.
And the contamination often leads straight to the related issue of inconsistent purity, I imagine. You might get one promising result, try to replicate it with a new batch from the same questionable supplier, and suddenly the results are wildly different or non-existent.
Exactly. Inconsistent purity guarantees unpredictable results. A really promising lead might just vanish because the researcher simply can't reproduce the initial findings. That can lead to weeks, even months, of fruitless troubleshooting, where the problem isn't the scientific method, it's the material itself.
Then there's the frankly terrifying possibility of mislabeling. That's not just a simple clerical error. That could lead to completely false scientific conclusions being published.
Mislabeling is perhaps the most dangerous risk of all. If a researcher believes they are studying compound A, but they are actually studying compound B, perhaps due to a supplier mix-up or deliberate misrepresentation, and they publish results based on that false premise.
Oh, wow.
They are actively contributing to misinformation within the scientific community. They've drawn conclusions based on a non-existent mechanism. And tracing that error back can cost multiple institutions months, maybe years, of research time, funding, and career momentum. It's incredibly damaging.
Without proper batch traceability and clear records, fixing that kind of error becomes practically impossible, right? Replication, the cornerstone of scientific reliability, is completely compromised.
It is. If you cannot definitively link the material used in study X back to the verified documentation of batch Y, that study is scientifically dead in the water. It can't be trusted or built upon. And finally, let's not forget the degradation risks. Even if the compound was pure initially, poor storage or shipping like inadequate temperature control during transit can degrade the compound's stability before it even reaches the lab.
Right, affecting the half-life and activity we talked about.
Exactly, affecting those critical parameters. Yeah. So yes, these risks are precisely why experienced researchers treat sourcing vigilance not as an afterthought, but as a central tenet of good experimental design.
That list really underscores why focusing purely on cost savings when sourcing these critical compounds is so short-sighted. The true cost is potentially the failure of the entire research project, not to mention the downstream effects. Okay, let's wrap up by looking at the standards set by reputable suppliers who operate under this research-only mandate. If we look at models like BC9, as mentioned in the sources, what are the key pillars that define their research-grade precision? It gives our listeners a kind of checklist for what to look for.
Yeah, the sources outline three core commitments that really define that research-grade precision. First, it's purity first. This means the compounds are produced and critically tested to meet strict research-grade standards. The focus is on verifying the chemical structure and rigorously eliminating contaminants.
Okay, purity first. What's second?
Second is transparency. This goes back to what we discussed, the strict adherence to documentation standards, providing those certificates of analysis, ensuring batch verification, and often using third-party testing to provide complete accountability. You know exactly what you're getting.
And the third pillar.
The third is the research-only mission. This isn't just a label on a website. It reflects a deep commitment to supporting scientific exploration by maintaining the absolute highest standards. It means understanding that their materials are strictly for laboratory use and are intended to fuel critical discovery, not anything else. When a supplier genuinely commits to these three pillars, purity, transparency, and that research-only focus, they are directly supporting the global scientific effort to achieve repeatable, trustworthy results in these complex and important research fields. So, to reiterate our final thought for you listening, source integrity isn't just an optional extra or nice to have. It is the fundamental bedrock of trustworthy science. Research built on verified high-purity materials is what reliably leads to breakthroughs. Research built on impurities, inconsistency, or guesswork that leads only to confusion, wasted effort, and ultimately misinformation.
And maybe a final provocative thought to leave you with. If the accuracy of future peptide and nonotropic breakthroughs, potential breakthroughs that could redefine our understanding of health, recovery, maybe even cognition, relies so heavily on the quality assurance provided by just a handful of truly reputable suppliers, does the future of scientific discovery rest almost as much on rigorous supply chain vigilance as it does on novel experimentation itself? Something profound to mull over as you consider the sources for your own critical work.